All right, let's have a Bible study. Open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 91. This is a... I don't know if anybody has ever encountered a personalized Bible. You can get a personalized Bible. What it does is that in these places, see, it helps you to personalize the Bible. And one of the things about some of these psalms and some of these things is you personalize these psalms. You make them yours. I'm going to read Psalm 91, a part of it to you, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is." Did you see that? All of a sudden, see, Moses, they believe Moses wrote this psalm. And all of a sudden, he made it personal. Because he started off, he said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You could very well say, "Because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Do you see how you do that? And all of a sudden, Moses made it personal. He said, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust." This is for each individual believer. For all believers. It's not just for ministers. It's not just for... It wasn't just for Moses. It wasn't just for the Messiah. You realize that? It's for everybody. It's believed that this was written by Moses at the beginning of their 40-year curse where they had to walk through the desert. And Psalm 91 was written to comfort the church in the wilderness while going through that 40-year curse. To assure the children of God in all ages of His providence. See, it's a healthy thing for your soul to understand a little bit about providence. See, God made you. And when you got brought into the family of God, He became your provider. He's your Father. Amen? You know, the funny thing about wives, you know, when you marry them, they expect you to feed them. Because you become provider. Amen? Now, if we can get that through our earthly skulls to understand what we're supposed to do, what our role in life is, then it'd be even better for us to understand God's role. Sometimes you have to get yourself out of the way and let God be God in your life. All the doing and all the struggling, all the working that you're doing, are you toiling or are you being productive? See, there's a lot of people that toil every day because they won't let God be God in their life. Then there's people that go to work every day, but they let God provide. And He does it at every turn if you'll let Him. He'll just put people in your path. He'll put opportunities in your path. He'll open up doorways that you never even thought of. He'll make ways that you thought were impossible. And people will look at you like, "How is this even possible?" I told people for a long time, I said, you know, when I stopped working and started our own business, I said, I had turned down enough work to keep three people well provided for since I've been here. Just because I didn't have the time, I didn't have the tools, I didn't have the wherewithal to get it going. So, said, Connie, we got a chance now. We're going to take it. And man, it's just like people just come out of the woodworks. But that's not my toiling. That's God's providing. Amen. Another interesting thing. If Moses wrote Psalm 91, then all the scriptures quoted in the Lord's temptation, even those quoted by Satan, were from the writings of Moses. So what was going on? Moses was prophesying about the Messiah. Then we found out when Jesus said, it is finished, all of that stuff that they talked about from the beginning at the garden to the time of the cross, all of that came to fulfillment. God's word, his prophecy. You've got to understand, when God puts a prophecy out there, it will happen. A lot of them have already happened. There's some of them that are happening before our very eyes. Remember, he said there would be the moon would turn to blood. We've seen that. So there would be rumors of wars. There would be earthquakes. There would be famines. There would be all this stuff. We've seen some really strange and very aggressive weather patterns happening. He said, you'd see that. You'd see that. A friend of mine called me. He said, are we in the end times? And I said, well, he actually asked me, I said, are we in tribulation? I said, no, we're not in tribulation. We're in the end times, but we're not in tribulation. I said, well, how come we're not in tribulation? I said, because they haven't had the rapture. I mean, the church is down here causing too much trouble for the devil. So the devil can't get away with everything he wants to do. You know, that irritates me when the church, when Christians say the devil's just running around doing whatever he wants to do. I said, no, he's not. If the devil was doing everything he wanted to do, there would be a mass school shooting every day. There would be hundreds of thousands of people dying. He's not getting away with everything he wants to do. But now let's get back here to our assignment here. And in the first two scriptures, it points out there's five things for us to trust, to put our trust in. We trust in him. Above all else, lean not unto your own understanding. Don't have confidence in the flesh. Trust in him. Let's go down here to verse 3. We're going to see some special confidence that we have in him. Verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler. You know, the devil is out there running around. He is out there running around. And he set snares for not just Christians, but he set snares for everybody. He hates people. He hates people in particular. He really hates anointed people. So he set snares for people. What would be some of these snares? Some of these snares would be these things that distract you. You know, maybe you know that there are certain things that you should not eat. But he makes them very flavorful. And he puts them before you. Well, that's a snare. He used it on the first man and it worked real good. Food. He will cause things that are bad for you to feel good to your flesh. If that makes sense. And it'll always be poison. It'll be a snake. Once you let that snake in, then you got a problem. You got poison in there. You got to get that snake out of there. But he sets those snares for you. But the Lord delivers you from the snare of the fowler. I don't know how many traps the devil has set for people. I can remember one in particular trap for me. But I'd say this psalm every morning before my feet hit the floor. And we kept our horse out at Cowboy Church, and I had a bale of hay. I always put it in the barn, and I put it in the same place. And I go out there, and it'd be dark when I go do my chores, and I just go down there and I grab a couple flakes of hay and go give it to him. So one morning, my pastor called and said, "You should move your hay outside," because we went in there, and there was a rattlesnake that was stretched out the full length of your bale of hay there. Couldn't have seen him if I wanted to. But the Lord protected me from that snake. Amen. See, we don't see everything that he delivers us from. Remember, when we put God's word out into the atmosphere, he gives them angels. That word gives them angels something to do. And those angels go out there before you, and they cause your way to be straight. They clear the path for you. That snake could have just been laying right there every morning while I reached down there and grabbed my hay. And I didn't know it. The next thing we have confidence is, it says, "Surely he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." See, there's things, literally, you call it calamity. You know, when it feels like the whole world just caved in. All of a sudden, you know, you just bebopping along and everything was wonderful. And the very next minute, there's just complete chaos, calamity. Something happened. He delivers you from that. You know, you can go through chaos and be sane. You can go through calamity and be sane. You can actually have peace in calamity because the Lord will take you through that. Amen. If you're looking to him for that guidance, if you're looking to him for your wisdom and knowledge, and if you're trying to just figure it out on your own, you're going to get more confused. He covers us with his feathers, and under his wings shall we trust. His truth shall be our shield and buckler. Remember in Ephesians, it talks about us putting on that belt of truth, that girdle of truth, that girdle of truth. His truth, his word will take us through. You know, the doctor gives you a bad report. We have his truth. The truth always outweighs the facts. You have to understand that these people in the world are just dealing with their five natural senses. And it may be a natural scientific fact that if you do this, this will happen. But the truth says that by his stripes you were healed. So the truth always outweighs the facts, has more authority than the natural facts. Remember, the Word of God, when we speak it into existence, you know, we call things that aren't as though they were. You know, if you listen to the people on the stock market, you know, you listen to the news and the people on the stock market, they say, "Woe is me." Said, "This is horrible. This is a bad time to be in business. This is a bad time to do a startup. Everything is terrible. It's all wrong." But the Lord says, "I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, we've seen worse times than this. You know, it actually took a pandemic, a complete shutdown of the economy to get us back to Obama's highest point in his presidency. We've seen worse times. We've seen harder times. I didn't know we were poor when I was a kid. I just thought we were the thing. That's just the way things were. I didn't know we were in hard times. But then my dad told me about the 30s. That was pretty hard times. But you know, when people started making homesteads in Jamestown, that was pretty hard times. That's what people do. They go through hard times. And God gave us His Word to bring us through these hard times. You know, in the psalmist, he said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." There's going to be hard times. I don't know how many times Christians have come up to me in prayer lines or asked me what was going on, and they'd be shocked that they were having hard times. And I'd say, "Why? What's going on?" They'd tell me, and it was almost like they thought, since I'm a Christian, I'm not supposed to be having hardships. And I said, "Did you not read that part in the Bible? It said, in this world there will be tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." No, we can minimize some of this hardness. But it's going to be what we do with our mouth. You know, literally, what do you do when you're in a cave? Why would I be talking about being in a cave? You know, David, he was anointed by the prophet. He was handpicked by God to be the king of Israel. And he was living in a cave because the old king of Israel was trying to kill him. Now, he could have got in that cave and started pouting and feeling sorry for himself. This is what happens to people when they get into a cave. They'll curl up and play possum and hope the devil goes away. Did you know he's not going to go anywhere until you make him go somewhere? But what David decided to do in that cave was praise God. And when his soul got a little bit out of line, he'd tell it to bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What was he doing? He was telling his mind to shut up. Every one of us has to do that from time to time. We have to say, "No, I'm going to praise God." See, this is when you offer up the sacrifice of praise. It's easy to praise God when you're on the mountain and everything is going your way. Man, you're rolling and you're clipping and things are wonderful. But when you're in that valley, you're in that cave, you're at that critical point in your life where people give up. People give up all the time. Did you know that? I like what my friend did. He took a rope. He was preaching and he took a rope and he tied a knot on in it. And he said, "If you feel like you're at the end of your rope, just tie a knot in it and hang in there." You know, too many times people give up at the last minute. That's when you offer up the sacrifice of praise. When you have nothing left to do, you have nothing, you can't figure nothing out. You don't have any answers. You're out of resources. You're out of time. You're out of possibilities. Get your hands in the air and say, "God, thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for the air I breathe. Thank you." You can thank your way out of the cave. Get this psalm and start getting it in your head, getting it in your heart, get it in your mouth so you can get it in the atmosphere. Walk around saying this. Jesus said you could have what you say. But people are walking around saying what they have. We have security in here. Verse 5 says, we shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked. That's comforting. All the destruction, all the things, the COVID bug. That irritating little virus. Is far from you. But you got to get your mouth in gear. Too many people get their mouth in gear, but they get it on the wrong subject. They get it on the wrong thing. And they just run their mouth. And it does them little to no good. And then they're wondering why they're afraid all the time. Because they don't get in the Word. They won't speak God's Word into existence. They'll speak the devil's Word into existence. And it'll build more fear in their hearts. Build more confusion into their souls. Down here in verse 9 it says, because thou hast made the Lord. Now all of a sudden, something has happened here. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. No evil shall befall you, no plague shall come near your dwelling. Now they're trying to promote the bubonic plague now. It's been, that's what I said. I got news for them. I talked to a game warden about 5 years ago, and he said most of these pigs that he had found shot or been around had the bubonic plague. It's around. But you're protected from plagues. Neither shall any evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he... Remember, we were talking about those angels. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon lions and adders, young lions and dragons shall you trample under feet. These angels, you know, I did a study on this one time, and I figured out that there's probably about a... For each believer has about 144,000 angels at his disposal. 144,000 angels. And most of them are sitting on the bench waiting for you to get your little old tongue in gear and get God's word in the atmosphere so they have something to do. Then they're sitting there watching you get beat up by this little demon. And they're sitting there saying, why don't you say something? Say something. And this is what Christians will do. They say, well, I believe the Word of God. No, you don't. If you believed the Word of God, you would do what Jesus did, and you would say something. You would open up, you would eventually find Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24, and you would start saying something, but a whole bunch of them say, nah, that's some of that Kenneth Hagin name it and claim it stuff. You got to stay away from that. Really? How did you get born again? If you did indeed get born again, you had to say something out of your mouth. Amen? Honestly, sometimes the people would just listen to themselves. Let's finish up here. He has set his love. Now, this changes. This changes. All of a sudden, now it's not Moses talking. It's not Moses talking anymore. But listen to this, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's God talking to Moses. That's God talking to you. He will deliver you, protect you, and provide for you. He will take care of you. The more we behold Jesus and look at him, the more we learn of him, the more revelation we're going to get of him in our hearts. That means the more we're going to operate in the things that he has for us. I really like this part. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. A friend of mine, a very, very dear friend of mine, he got way out there. He got mixed up in this mess, and he got way out there. And I would run into people from time to time that would have contact with him. I mean, he wasn't gonna come see me. And I'd tell them, you go tell him that I'm praying for him. And I prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. And then I finally got a release in my heart. God's got this handled. And just the other day, he posted two pictures. He said, this is before recovery. Long, stringy hair. Single, methed out guy. After recovery, 5 years recovery. Clean cut. Got a wife. Got a good job fishing. And he said, what do y'all think? And I said, well, that first picture, that's the guy that made me pray a lot. That second picture is God's affirmation to me that he hears my prayers. Don't give up on your... Pray for them. Amen? It may look bad. It may look really bad. It may sound bad. But pray anyway. Pray anyway. God can bring people from the deepest hole that you can imagine and set them on high. But he needs the church to get their tongue in gear in the Word of God. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your words. We praise you that your Word is the seed that gets in our hearts. And this seed takes root in us and it produces fruit for you in your kingdom, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold return on your word. We believe that when we get your word in us, established in us, you'll be able to do more things with us than we ever imagined. Even greater things. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.